This morning, as we continue our sermon series through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 to 7, our text today is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. That passage is printed for you on the back of your order of worship, if you'd like to refer to it there. As I mentioned last week, Jesus in this section of his Sermon on the Mount, which begins in chapter 6, is giving instruction to his disciples on various spiritual practices that will characterize their life in his kingdom. The practice of giving to those who are in need or serving those who are in need, the practice of prayer, the practice of fasting. Last week we considered our Lord's teaching on what it means to serve the needy. This Sunday we turn our attention to the first part of Jesus' multi-part teaching on prayer, both here in chapter 6 and, as we heard also today, continues in chapter 7 as well. Beloved, God's word is more precious than gold. It is to be desired above anything in your life and valued above anything, for it is more precious even than much fine gold. Beloved, God's word is sweeter than honey. This is to be the center of your longing, for God's word is sweeter even than the dripping of the honeycomb. I invite you to listen to it now. This is the direct teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you pray, our Lord says, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father, who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thus far, the reading of God's word, it is absolutely true, and it is given to you because your Father in heaven loves you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have taught us that everyone who hears these words of yours and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Grant us now your Holy Spirit and your grace to attend to these, your words, your teaching, that we might be made wise and that our house might be built upon you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our larger catechism, in a wonderful phrase, teaches us that prayer is this. Prayer, it says, is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of the Spirit. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of the Spirit. I love that definition. It reminds us that to pray is to enter into the Trinitarian life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our prayers, we address our Heavenly Father, the one who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in our prayers, our desires are offered up to our Father in the name of Christ. That is, in union with Jesus, the one who himself is always interceding for us at his Father's right hand, the one who is our high priest who stands in heaven for us before the face of God, the one who takes our prayers and joins them with his own prayers, perfecting our prayers, offering them to the Father. And all of this mysterious work is accomplished by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, who indwells us as those who are members of Christ's body and guides and directs even our prayers that we pray. And of course, not only this, we pray also always in union with the whole church on earth, the body of Christ, universal. Frequently on our Wednesday and Friday morning prayer meetings that we have here in the sanctuary at 9 o'clock, if you ever want to join us, I remind those who are present that we are praying even in that very moment in union with baptized Christians all over the world, who at that moment are praying in every continent, in every time zone, in many, many different languages. Our prayers are joined to theirs, even at that moment, and their prayers to ours, and together we are offering our prayers to the Father through Jesus Christ, our High Priest, by the power of His Spirit. Speaking of morning prayer, I'd love for you to join us sometime if you're ever able. It's so good to pray together. My own life of prayer has been transformed these past 7 years as we've prayed twice a week together for an hour. It's such a blessing. How we pray, that is, how long we pray, the words we use, the style of our language, right, the very practical nature of how it is that we pray, the mechanics of our prayer, it's something of a learned experience. I think this is just inevitable in terms of our capacities as human beings. We always learn, in other words, to pray by listening to those who pray around us, hearing their prayers. None of us comes to prayer in a vacuum. We're always formed in terms of our expectations and practices. If we grew up in a Christian home, a home where our prayers, we heard prayers of our parents and others prayed in front of us, then of course we learned how to pray from our father or mother or both of them or our siblings. Of course, if we've been part of the church, we've also learned from our pastors, from our Sunday school teachers, from our peers. All of them, inevitably, were teaching us how to pray. This is something to keep in mind as parents and Sunday school teachers and other positions of instruction and authority, that you are teaching your children, etc., to pray by hearing you. One thing that I've learned over the years as a pastor is that for a number of Christians, prayer, and especially praying out loud in front of other people, is for many a challenging thing. It's not always easy for everyone. Praying out loud can understandably feel exposing or vulnerable, even scary. We can say internally, we can say, what if I say the wrong thing in my prayer? What if I don't do it right? What if I say something in my prayer that will cause others to judge me in some way? For others, even private prayer can be difficult. The reason for this can be more complex. It can speak to, sometimes at least, difficulty in our relationship with God Himself. Perhaps we don't pray privately because we're weary of praying without seeing what we perceive to be an answer. Perhaps we're frustrated with God because of His providence in our life. Perhaps we're in a season of spiritual dryness, or what Martin Lloyd-Jones referred to as spiritual depression. I can certainly relate. I've been there at times in my life. The point is, all of us are learning to pray. It's part of what you're doing every Lord's Day, is you're learning to pray. You're growing in prayer. We're all in process. None of us have figured this out. And that's okay. Because prayer is in many ways at the heart of our life with God. Prayer is where we are learning each day of our life what it is to relate to God as our Father. It's one of the revelations that Jesus gives in his teaching, that prayer is fundamentally about relating to the God who is our Father, to relate to him as a Father. And as a Father, not just any Father, but as a Father who loves us. The Father that we have who is always more ready to hear than we are to pray. The Father who always gives us good things when we ask him. Not necessarily always what we ask for, but he always gives us good things. You see, what I'm saying is your life of prayer is not some sort of bonus add-on to the Christian life. No, prayer is actually one of the fundamental means of grace, the way in which God gives himself to you, along with the word and sacrament. These means of grace, prayer, one of them, and prayer in some ways particularly, in terms of intimacy in your life with God, is given to you that you might dwell in ever-growing communion with Jesus as you learn to pray after Jesus' own pattern and example, as you learn to relate to your Heavenly Father, who is the same as Jesus' Father, in the way that he relates to God. That's what you're doing in prayer. You're learning that God is your Father and Jesus is your teacher of what that means. And this morning, Jesus, of course, has instruction for us regarding how we are to pray. Now, it's interesting. In the Old Testament, almost all of the Bible's teaching on prayer in that section of the Scriptures is descriptive. We're given stories where prayers are offered, and in many cases, those prayers are written down for us as an example. Notably, of course, a large section of the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, is given to us as model prayers for us to actually pray to God verbatim. But we're not really given a lot of instruction in the Old Testament about how to pray or what prayer is or what the dynamics are. Prayer is merely commanded and then demonstrated. But in the teaching of Jesus, in the incarnation of the God-man, more than anyone else, anywhere else in the Scriptures, Jesus gives very practical instruction about prayer. What it is, how you do it, what the problems are. Jesus is teaching his disciples always to pray. He gives them, of course, a model prayer to pray verbatim to God, the Lord's Prayer. But he's also teaching them about prayer. He is warning them against, kinds of prayer that is ineffective. He's describing for them the way prayers are to be offered. He's giving complex answers to some of the most difficult questions that people have about prayer. And, of course, he himself is praying. I suspect this is part of the reason that Jesus is the one in the Scriptures where the focus is so much on how to pray. Because Jesus is not only our instructor when it comes to prayer, he is also our model. Jesus is the one who prays to his Father. He is the one who intercedes for his people. He is the one who relates to his Father with the kind of freedom and confidence that he wants us to have in our own lives of prayer. Your life of prayer, to be clear, is meant to be patterned after the example of Jesus. And in our passage this morning, Jesus is giving his first instructions about prayer that are recorded for us in the Gospels. Jesus begins that instruction with a warning. Notice at the beginning of our passage today, he says, "And when you pray, you must not be like this. You must not be like the hypocrites," he says. "For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners." Why? "That they might be seen by others. Truly I say to you," our Lord says, they have received their reward. You see, what Jesus is warning his followers against here is a kind of prayer that seeks attention, prayer that is ostentatious, that is showy, that is meant to be impressive to others, or maybe even to God himself in some way. I think you know what I mean. You've probably observed it at different times in your life. The kind of prayer that is not so much directed toward God, but prayer where the words and the tone and the volume are chosen more or less expressly for the benefit of those who are listening. Don't do that, Jesus is saying. Don't pray like that. That's not what prayer is for. It's not to impress others. No, prayer, Jesus is saying, is a gift given to God's children. It is not a gift given so that you can make yourself seem overly pious or spiritually articulate in front of those around you. In fact, Jesus says, if you pray in this way, you might actually get what you want. People might be impressed and think well of you. They might believe that you have your spiritual ducks in a row. But Jesus says, that's all you'll get. The good opinion of others will be the only reward that you receive. So don't do that, our Lord says. Instead, he says, do this. He says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, it's important to say that Jesus here is not prohibiting any of us from praying publicly or in front of other people. In fact, that's often a great gift you can give someone, to pray for them in their presence. What a blessing that is when you receive that from someone who loves you and cares about you. There are many righteous prayers recorded for us in the scriptures, and many of those prayers are public prayers. In fact, most of them are prayers that are prayed to God in front of others. Jesus himself prays publicly on a number of occasions in the Gospels. So he's not just excluding that as, you know, you can't ever pray in front of other people. No, what Jesus is saying is that for his disciples, there ought always, underneath the public prayers we pray in front of others, there ought always to be a kind of hidden, secret life with God underneath those things. Now, Jesus did this, right? Often in the Gospels, we read about how he would go away by himself to pray. To pray in a secret and hidden way. And hopefully for all of us, there is a sort of series of concentric circles in our life of prayer, right? There are the corporate prayers we pray at church on the Lord's Day and at other times, like prayer meetings. There are the prayers we pray in the presence of our family, our spouse, or our children, or our friends. But then at the heart, there are the prayers that we offer to God that no one else hears. No one else, not even those who are closest to us. Jesus is saying, this is especially the kind of life of prayer that our Heavenly Father wants for his children. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that each of us, in order to obey this teaching of our Lord and be truly pious, needs to go home and lock ourselves in our bedrooms and pray quietly for an hour every day by ourselves. Now, you might do that. That might work for you. But for many of us, myself included, that's not typically what my hidden life of prayer looks like. Instead, I think the best way to interpret and understand what Jesus is talking about here is that our private life of prayer is often something that is happening all throughout the day. A kind of secret, hidden conversation with your Heavenly Father. Martin Luther taught that these private prayers that Jesus speaks about here should be, quote, brief, frequent, and intense. Brief, frequent, and intense. By intense, Luther simply meant that our secret prayers should be our most honest prayers. We should hold nothing back as we present our desires to the Lord in secret. I love that description of our hidden life of prayer. Prayers that are brief, that are frequent, that occur often throughout the day, that are intense. Prayers that often sound like short phrases. Help me, Father. That's when I pray a lot. Father, help me. Have mercy on me. Watch over my kids or my spouse. Father, give me strength. The Psalms are actually perfect for finding this kind of prayer. And I would recommend spending an hour or two one day to go through the Psalms and find some brief phrases that you resonate with, that you can memorize and offer to God on your lips or in your mind even throughout the day. Psalm 31, into your hands I commit my spirit. That was Jesus' prayer on the cross, and it's a perfect prayer for our hidden life with God. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit, not only at the moment of my death, but at every hour of my life. Psalm 17, Father, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wing. Psalm 56, Father, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. The point that Jesus is making is that underneath all of our public prayers, the prayers that others hear, there should be a hidden life of prayer with our Father, where our Father who sees in secret hears us and will reward us. Now, ultimately, that reward is not found in getting everything we want. The reward actually is communion with our Father, fellowship with Him through Christ and by the power of the Spirit. That is the great gift of prayer in the Scriptures. Jesus then tells His disciples this. He says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Now again, it's important to say Jesus is not prohibiting here long prayers or praying for lengthy amounts of time. Remember the example of Hannah, for example. There are lots of biblical counterexamples, including Jesus himself. Jesus prayed all night in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's nothing wrong with, at times, praying in an extended way to the Lord. Now, what Jesus is zeroing in on here is, what is the ground of your confidence in your prayer when you pray to the Lord, especially when you're praying those hidden secret prayers to Him? He's saying one false way to have a kind of pretense of confidence about your prayer is to believe that somehow if I just say the things again and again with enough fervency or piety or whatever, I'm going to wear God down. I'm going to get His attention. But before I get His attention, I have to prove to Him that I'm really serious. And so he's doing this thing where I have to like do the right things, right, in order for Him to hear me. In this way of thinking, your confidence is that God will hear you if you can just do prayer right, if you can just unlock the secret code, if you can just say the right words in the right order, the right number of times, if you can impress upon God that you really, really mean it, then He will hear you. But friends, this is how the Gentiles pray, as our Lord says. It's how the pagans pray. Remember, for example, the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, where the pagan prophets are calling on the name of Baal from morning until noon. They're saying in a kind of ritual chant again and again, O Baal, answer us. O Baal, answer us. O Baal, answer us. For hours. And then when Baal doesn't answer, fire doesn't fall from heaven, the prophets of Baal begin to cut themselves, we read. They spill their own blood. They're trying to get his attention, doing whatever they can do. Or think, for example, of the pagan Ephesians in Acts 19, who assemble in the city square because they're so frightened by the preaching of Paul and the way that idolatry has been given up in the city. And for 2 hours, Luke tells us, they cry out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." What they're doing there is they're praying. They're trying to get the attention of Artemis so that she will defend herself against these Christian preachers who are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. For 2 hours, thousands of people chanting together, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Don't pray like that, Jesus is saying. It's not that complicated. That's not what God's like. Instead, he says, this is how you should pray. Don't be like them. Don't be like the Gentiles or the pagans. Don't think you need to wear God down or have some kind of incantation that's going to unlock the thing. Don't be like them, he says. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Instead, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and power. Think of how simple that prayer is. How direct, how unadorned it is. How uncomplicated it is. And yet Jesus said, this is how you pray. Beloved, this is the secret of Christian prayer. Your confidence that your prayers are heard is not rooted in yourself. No, your confidence that your prayers are heard is rooted entirely in the character of your Heavenly Father and His relationship to you. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him, Jesus says. It's such intimate language here to use for the holy and almighty God, the God who made the universe, the God who dwells in unapproachable light, the one who is surrounded by angels and archangels. That's your Father, Jesus is saying. And He already knows what you need, even before you ask Him. So just ask Him in simple terms, directly. When you pray, Jesus is saying, you don't need to call Him. I mean, you can, but you don't need to call Him Almighty and ever-living God who dwells in unapproachable light. No, you can call Him Father. You can just simply say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give me my bread today. Forgive my sins. Protect me from evil. Beloved, as you grow in your life of prayer, know this. Your prayers are not heard because of your eloquence. Your prayers are not heard because you have mastered theology and the Bible. Your prayers are not heard because of your obedience. No, your prayers are heard. Your prayers are heard because God is your Father through Jesus Christ. That's who God is. God is His Father. You have been united to Him. So God is your Father. That's the logic of the New Testament. And so you can just speak to Him simply. It doesn't need to be fancy. You don't need to impress Him with your piety or knowledge. You don't need to pile up lots of words and phrases, beat around the bush. You can just say what you want. You can speak to him straightforwardly. You don't have to hedge your bets. You don't have to say, well, you know, if this is really what's best for me, or, you know, I mean, God's going to give you what's best for you. You don't have to offer disclaimers. You don't need to be embarrassed about praying for something that seems unimportant or not very spiritual. You really can just ask him for what you think you need. You really can. You really can just ask him for what you believe your loved one or your neighbor needs, as far as you can tell. You're not going to mess it up. That's my point. You can pray with that kind of simplicity, with that kind of confidence, with that kind of, dare I say, intimacy. Right? You don't have to be fancy and keep God at a distance. You can pray simply and straightforwardly, as though he is your loving Father who knows already what you need. You really can offer him your desires, as our catechism puts it. I mentioned earlier how we all learn to pray by listening and imitating those around us. So here's my advice to you, friends. In addition to the scriptures themselves and the teaching of our Lord, from a human perspective, don't look to learn from people whose prayers are kind of overwhelming, right? In their eloquence and length and complicated language. Don't, you know, find people who pray such elaborate prayers that you think, I could never pray like that. Like, that's not helpful. And that's not even really the point. No, find people around you who pray as though they're speaking to God as their Father who loves them and who already knows what they need. Find others around you who pray simple, direct, straightforward, even intimate prayers that are full of childlike confidence. Not confidence that God's going to do whatever they want him to do, but confidence that God is their good and loving Father, that God, their Father, who hears their prayers, will give them what they need when they pray, because he knows what it is that they need already. Those are the kinds of people who have learned to pray. Those are the kinds of people to imitate. And in nearly every case, if you find a person like that, they will be the kind of person who has been praying in a secret, hidden way with their Father for years and years and years. Beloved, you really can pray this way, with this kind of simplicity and freedom. But you do it for only one reason, because you are a Christian. You're not a pagan. And God is your Father. And your Father in heaven is always more ready to hear than you are to pray. He is always more ready to hear than you are to pray. You don't have to convince him to listen to you. And your Father already knows what you need, even before you ask. This is the God to whom you pray. This is the opportunity for intimacy with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, indeed, we ask you now that you would use the instruction of your Son and even the preaching of your word to build up our faith and hope and confidence. In practical ways, Father, as we pray, help us, Father, to be those who learn day by day, week by week, year by year, what it is to pray, what it is to call you Father, what it is to trust that we don't need to be fancy or complicated. We can simply ask you to hear us because you already know what we need. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.